Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Michigan Golf Podcast. And this week on the episode, I've got it together. It feels good. You could probably hear it in the energy of my voice, but this time I come to you not with kind of uncertainty on where I want to go with the episode and the communication and what I want to deliver to you guys, but I came with a plan. This episode, I have it together. I have got a strategic itinerary in front of me. And what we're kind of going to discuss this week on the podcast is thinking back to the days of old. I'm kind of a traditionalist in the sense of the way the PGA Tour does things or used to do things. And I really wish they'd go back to this because, I mean, without dropping too much of what's to come, I'm not a fan of the wraparound season concept. I miss the days where we used to play a tour championship in September. We used to play a Ryder Cup or President's Cup shortly after that. And then it was a break. You had a couple of fall series events and things like that, but nothing major. And then players could take the off season, enjoy time with their families, and enjoy a break, regroup, get motivated for January. I miss that. That was, in my opinion, the best. And the wraparound stuff, again, too much for the intro. But what I wanted to do this episode is, as we're kind of going from December, getting into January, we're all looking forward to 2021 for a multitude of reasons, but what I want to get into today is I wanted to tell you guys about my top five comeback players for the 2021 PGA Tour season. And again, this is I've got a list here, and some of them you're going to expect, most of them you're probably going to expect. I do have one that you probably won't, but that's for me to know and you guys to find out shortly. But you know the drill. Before we kind of dive into that, we got to grab an ad. And then when we get back, we're going to talk PGA Tour players. We're going to talk upcoming 2021 season, who's going to make a comeback, who's not, and we'll see kind of where it goes from there. So, again, thanks for tuning in. Let's grab the ad. And when we get back, we'll talk golf. Right on, guys. Welcome back. And so, again, this episode, I'm just kind of excited that I got it together for you guys. I felt bad putting out a couple episodes, being a little spacey and just having kind of an unstructured, albeit organic still, approach to delivering this content. But this time, again, I came prepared. So let's talk about this. And first and foremost, again, I just kind of want to revisit that. I mean, if you guys are, I mean, I'm not that old. 32, turning 33, I think, in February. Yeah, so come on, not that old. But I mean, I've been a golf fan for a long time, watched the PGA Tour for a long, long time, and I'm sure a lot of you have as well. And I do know some kind of young bucks out there that maybe don't remember the days of old when it came to the PGA Tour schedule and how the season actually used to come to a conclusion instead of just take like that one week break they take now before kicking off the 2021 wraparound season, like they did back in, shoot, probably October. I feel like the 2021 season probably technically started before the Masters was even played for 2020, in November there. But I don't know. This is a wonky year, so we're gonna kind of kick this one to the curb anyway. But back in the day, I used to love that the golf season would end, not just for the players and for the competition, but like, give these guys time to go and maybe make some swing changes, work on some things with their coaches, work on their bodies, work on their minds, just again, spend time with family and take a break, decompress from competitive golf. And then when January rolled around, I don't know about you guys, but this time of year, as we're getting in between, I mean, this year we're not playing the Hero World Challenge, Tiger's event in the Bahamas. Used to play it out in SoCal, and that was always fun to watch. So I love that when you got like the top, what is it, like 16 guys, invitation only to Tiger's event. It was always fun early December to tune in and see kind of the best in the world or some of the best in the world show up and have just kind of a little pre-holidays like showdown, and that was always a good time. But it kind of helped me, and I always enjoyed the process of that. And then this month, getting geared up for January, and January golf is my favorite. I love watching the tour in January because as we're sitting here in Michigan, freezing our tails off, and it's snowing outside, because I think it still snows in January. We're not there yet, but I think it does. We'll see when the time comes. But I mean, who doesn't love watching one, primetime golf, and two, watching primetime golf in Hawaii? I mean, it's awesome. The first 2 weeks of the season with the Century Tournament of Champions there on Kapalua is awesome. And then you go to the Sony Open, There in Maui, I think it is. I can't remember where it is, but either way, it's in Hawaii, and so it's awesome either way. It's beautiful scenery, beautiful weather. I mean, sometimes the winds blow and it gets tough, but just the views are incredible. And watching these guys come and dust the rust off, it's just a riot to watch. And I love getting into the season in that way. And so, this time around, I mean, it's been this way for a while now that we don't have that. The wraparound season has become the norm, and it is what it is. But that's not what this podcast is about. This podcast is about my personal opinion on top five comeback players of the year, or maybe not comeback players of the year, as the awards will have it at the end of the 2021 season. But these are the guys that I want to see make a comeback this up and coming season. Again, and some of them you guys are going to be like, yeah, duh. I mean, kind of figured that dude would make the list. But I got one in here, kind of my dark horse, who I'm a big fan of. But we'll get to him when we get to him. But what we're going to start with, we're going to start with Jordan Spieth. I mean, I want to say who doesn't love Jordan Spieth, but I do know a few people that don't. And I don't know why. Sometimes I just wonder about you guys. If you're not a fan of Jordan Spieth, I mean, the dude just seems to be an all-around good guy. He seems like a great kid. And just, I love his game. I loved what he brought. Shoot, this was, 2015, 16, 17, those 3 years. I mean, they were killer. And so looking at Jordan Spieth now, fast forward to 2020, I mean, who would have thought that we would have seen this guy kind of go from being where he was, always in contention in the majors, and just the Masters. I mean, he was killing it at Augusta and just really playing well. His putter was always hot. His game was just seemingly always there, and he was always a threat to get the W. Every week he teed it up. It was awesome. And I loved it because he was young. I mean, he was young. He was figuring it out, and he kind of figured it out quick and played really well. But let's look at him now. I mean, now Jordan Spieth, I mean, former top player in the world, is down to number 77 in the official world golf rankings. And honestly, when I looked that up, it was higher than I thought. And by higher, I mean, I guess lower. I would have thought that he was maybe up closer to 100 just because it has been a while. And his best finish last year, if you can call it last year, again, we're kind of revisiting that wraparound season concept. His best finish was October of 2019 at the CJ Cup in Nine Bridges. So that event that they, I mean, it's early wraparound season stuff. He finished tied for eighth. But again, that was October of 2019. So 2020, I know we can kind of chalk that up to being a wash for a lot of guys in a lot of ways. But I mean, come on, 2019. So still. And his last win on top of that, his last win was in 2017 at the Open Championship, which was an incredibly memorable win, one that I'll never forget. It was super fun to watch, had kind of that goofy ruling when he hit it over onto the driving range, and it took a little bit of time to kind of figure out where he was going to take a drop and the shot he was going to hit, and it was just, it was an awesome battle down the stretch. And 2017, I mean, if you kind of paid attention or know, if you're a Jordan Spieth fan, he actually won three times that year. So going back to, obviously, 3 years ago, the dude capped off a three-win season, and so the game was there, and then all of a sudden, I don't know what changed. I don't know what happened, whether it's physical, mental. I mean, it's probably a combination of both, but golf does that to us. Golf does that to us all, and has somehow gone from the position that he was in, three wins, including a major championship. He might even have won two majors that year. Was that the year he won the U.S. Open, too? I can't remember. That Jordan Spieth kind of hot couple years all kind of bleed together for me. But either way, I've got high hopes. I've been paying a lot of attention to him. I love watching him still. And so being a subscriber to PGA Tour Live and kind of being able to go in and whether it's featured group coverage or just, I mean, pick on Jordan while he's playing in events, like I love watching him. And I hate to see the struggle because you look at him out there and compared to years past, I mean, it seemed like he had a very confident aura about him. You could watch him. He walked around the golf course, head held high, smiling, having fun, playing well. He just exuded confidence. And you look at him now, and he's kind of like, it's almost like he hides behind the bill of his hat, and he just looks flat. He kind of looks lost, and I feel for the guy because we all feel that way on the golf course sometimes. But I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic that he can kind of turn it around get it together and just kind of figure it out. I know he wants to, and the nice thing is he's a patient person. We've seen that. He's willing to get out there, and he's willing to grind, and he's willing to fight through the adversity and the struggle, and all in an effort to come back and get back to the level of play that he's kind of striving for and looks to achieve. So I think he's going to do it. I'm optimistic. I don't know why, but I just have a good gut feeling about Jordan Spieth this year. I think he's gonna make a good run, maybe get a W. I'd love to see a W on the board for 2021, but we'll see. Time will tell. Number two player that I'm looking to see make a comeback, and there's strong signs of this one too, and that's Jason Day. I love Jason Day. I think he's a cool dude. One coming from Australia, coming to the U.S. I paid a lot of attention and learned about kind of Jason Day's childhood, his upbringing, and how he got into the game and the relationship he had with his caddy slash swing coach slash everything, and just everything that he's gone through over the last couple of years with some kind of family, his mother's health struggles and things like that. And it's not a shock that he isn't where he used to be, but I'm extremely excited to see that he is on the comeback trail. And Jason Day, he hasn't fallen quite as far as Jordan Spieth. He's 40th in the world golf rankings, but again, former number one in the world. I mean, he held the spot for a hot second. And a PGA champion, obviously major championship winner, and it's like the dude's got game. And again, I know he struggles with kind of some back issues, and if I'm not mistaken, he's got the kind of the vertigo deal where he's kind of fought that off and on for the last few years in instances. But looking at him, I mean, shoot, his best finish last year was the PGA Championship in August, just right here in 2020. So I thought for sure, I was really excited that he was on my fantasy team that week, and I thought J-Day might get this done. He might get out there. He might show everybody that, hey, I've still got this. I can get back in the winner's circle, and I'm going to do it in great fashion at the PGA Championship. Obviously, that didn't go his way. Colin Morikawa got the W, which was awesome to see as well. But a T4 finish is still slick. He also finished either fourth or tied for fourth at the Memorial back in July. I think it was T4 at Memorial. And then he finished solo fourth at Pebble Beach back in February. So, again, that's three top fives in 2020. Kind of a weird year. But I feel like for a lot of guys, the COVID break, I think, did him well, because it kind of gave him that quote-unquote off-season that they don't usually get with the whole wraparound concept nowadays. But again, three top five finishes in 2020 just kind of shows that his game is trending. I'm optimistic that he's going to continue to trend and get back in the winner's circle in 2021, because his last win was the 2018 Wells Fargo Championship, which he actually won twice that year. So kind of similar to Jordan Spieth, you go back to their last W. J-Day won the 2018 Wells Fargo and the 2018 Farmers Insurance Open. So that wasn't that long ago. 2018 was only just a couple years back. And so he's not that far removed from the winner's circle. And sometimes I think we kind of got to temper our expectations a little bit for these guys, because I don't know how many events are on the PGA Tour schedule these days, but you get your kind of multiple winners out there every year. There's going to be probably a Dustin Johnson or Justin Thomas or Rory McIlroy, and I mean all these guys. J-Day did it in 2018, Spieth in 2017, Tiger obviously multiple multi-win seasons, but occasionally you get the guys that get the multiple dubs, and you got the first timer winners out there a lot of times in kind of these fall series events. But again, when the season gets hot, you still get the first time winners that are awesome. And so, I mean, golf is one of those games where you're going to lose a lot more than you win. And I think that's the beauty of it. And that's why, I mean, we want to see these guys on the top of leaderboards. We want to see them get the W, but at the end of the day, it's exactly it. We're all, if we play competitive golf, we're all going to lose a heck of a lot more than we win, unless you're Tiger Woods and just kind of that anomaly out there in his prime. But look for J-Day 2021. I think he's going to come back. I think he's going to threaten. I'd love to see him, get a W in any season, regular season event. Major championships would be awesome, of course. But again, hopefully we can get back to a regular schedule, and these guys can kind of get after it and refocus and get back on the grind. And number three on my list, this is kind of where I throw in my kicker, because this is a personal personal fanboy moment where I've been a fan of this guy for a long, long time, and I referenced him in the last podcast because I knew this dude, I knew these guys before they were PGA Tour players, and so I shouldn't say they, but Wesley Bryan, my boy Wesley Bryan is awesome. And so back when the Bryan brothers started on social media, kind of, I don't know where they started, when they started, but Wesley and George Bryan, a couple of boys out of South Carolina, just trick shot extraordinaires. They did some of the wildest stuff, and they just became YouTube sensations. And they were immensely popular on YouTube. They did stuff with GoPro. They've done stuff with Rory McIlroy. They've done stuff with, they've got countless videos out there. I mean, if you haven't jumped on the Google and checked out the Bryan brothers, do it, because I mean, their content is killer. It's insanely fun to watch. The guys just do a great job. George is still killing it with the YouTube channel and doing what he does, and it's super fun to watch. But Wesley, both guys have been good. George has pursued the tour, played on the PGA Tour, Latin America Tour a couple years ago. He's trying to kind of get his footing, and I still think he's working towards that in professional golf. But Wesley, he made the transition from trick shot artist into kind of the mini tour scene, played on the Korn Ferry Tour, and he did what I don't think a ton of guys do, but he ripped off 3 wins in a season on the Korn Ferry Tour. And what happens when you win 3 times in a year on that is you get an automatic promotion to the PGA Tour. And so that's kind of how he got bumped up to the big leagues and got the 3 dubs, kind of validated himself there, and began playing on the PGA Tour. His best finish, I kind of go back to this stuff a little bit. He just came back. I kind of want to give a little bit more background on Wesley Bryan. So in 2019, he didn't play any competitive golf. He had shoulder surgery, went under the knife, had to get some stuff done. And so he ended up getting kind of that major medical exemption and getting back into the PGA Tour event starting in 2020. But he took all of 2019 off and just kind of rehabbed his body, did what he needed to do to get his shoulder right, and then get back into the game. And so obviously that was a wash, but the dude's a PGA Tour winner, and we can't forget that. And this is why I put him on this list, because I'm one, just a big fan of him for a while, and 2, he's proven himself on the Korn Ferry Tour, he's proven himself on the PGA Tour. Granted, his last win was in April of 2017, back at the RBC Heritage, which was cool because he's a South Carolina boy winning on Hilton Head. So he was winning in his home state. Always fun to see a guy do that when you got family and friends and stuff in close proximity that could come out and watch. Back in the day when fans used to go out and watch golf, you guys remember that? It was great. I used to do it too, and it's a ton of fun. So hopefully 2021 lets us all back out and watch these guys, because I really wanted to watch Wesley Bryan. One of his best finishes, looking back at this past year, he did just finish T12 at the Sanderson Farms in October. So kind of, again, wraparound season stuff, but top 15 finish. And so I'm, again, optimistic that he's trending. He pays a visit to the YouTube channel every once in a while, and I love watching him and George kind of duke it out in their 9-hole matches, 18-hole matches that they do periodically. Wesley's a funny guy. He's got a great personality, and I really wanted to see him in person. He played in the Rocket Mortgage over in Detroit this year, and I just wish that there would have been an opportunity to get out there and see him. That's the closest he's ever been to me geographically in having the opportunity to go watch him play. He ended up finishing T21 that week, so he's got the game. He's getting it together. He's figuring it out. And when I watch him on YouTube, you guys, if you queue up one of these Bryan Bros videos, it's an incredible learning experience, because you watch George, who is a really good golfer. He's very, very good at what he does, and he's a strong player, great driver of the golf ball, great putter. Everything in between is solid. And I hate to dog him at the moment, but the dude has not gotten a W against Wesley yet. They've had like 12 matches together on the channel, and if you tune in and watch, it's just it kind of paints the picture of what makes a PGA Tour pro a PGA Tour pro, and what makes a really good golfer a really good golfer that's not a PGA Tour professional. And so it kind of, when you see these two guys duke it out and go hand in hand, and you see the way Wesley plays, you see the way George plays, it's a lot, I mean, as if it's not already kind of clear how much better a PGA Tour player is than the rest of us. But when you see him kind of duke it out head-to-head, you can tell. You can see why Wesley plays golf for a living and George is still striving to get there. And so it's cool to see. So I highly encourage you guys to check it out. Bryan Brothers on YouTube. I mean, they've got a killer Instagram too. George is great. Puts out a ton of stuff. So it's fun to watch. And so Wesley's my boy. I'm really hoping that now that he's back in the full swing of things, can get back into a rhythm and kind of settle into a real regular PGA Tour season and schedule, hopefully in 2021. I'm not sure what his major medical exemption is going to allow him to do as far as picking his schedule, but I know he's going to play as often as he possibly can and try to get back to that winner's circle. I don't know how high he got in the official world golf rankings, but again, he's kind of my dark horse down at 556. But just, again, great guy, great personality, fun to watch. So I'm hoping to see big things from him in 2021. And number four on the list, let's, again, you know what? I'm kind of going back to not really that far off the beaten path, not that unexpected, but kind of falls in the same family as Spieth and Day, and that's Ricky Fowler. I mean, who's not a Ricky Fowler fan? Whether it's the style, the flair, the charisma, I mean, he's just a cool guy. I mean, I kind of liken him, and I think a lot of guys liken him to a young Phil Mickelson. He's the people's champ. He's a player of the people, and he's just got great personality. He's a great talent, and again, I just think he's trying to figure it out, and I think it's, for him, I still watch a lot of Ricky Fowler because I love the dude. He's fun to watch, whether he's playing well or not playing well. He's still good to watch on TV. And he's fallen down to 49 in the world. I don't know how high he got. I can pretty confidently say he was top 10 for a while. I don't know that he ever cracked top 5 in the world, but down to 49, so kind of falling a little bit down the rankings. His best finish last year was a tie for 5th at the Century Tournament of Champions in January on Kapalua. So that event coming up, he unfortunately will not be there because his last win came in February of 2019 at the People's Open, the Waste Management Phoenix Open out in Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, who doesn't love that tournament? And if there was a spot for Ricky to get the dub, I mean, that was it, because, again, just that stretch of 16, 17, in particular, the stadium hole, heading into, 16, the stadium hole, 17, the short par 4, I mean, just, I've been out there, I've experienced that event, and it's a riot getting a seat in the grandstands, kind of greenside on 16 there, and watching the players come through the par 3. The stadium is just, it's stupid loud. It is insane. I mean, it takes everything that you ever expect of a golf tournament and just blows it out of the water, because in between groups, the stuff that you don't see on TV is by far the most fun stuff. I mean, so much crowd engagement. It's so loud. And then players come through the tunnel and the hype is huge. You get to watch the guys play this par 3. And if you're, again, greenside in the grandstands there on the right, all you got to do is look over your right shoulder and you can watch these guys tee off on 17. So it's super fun. And I just remember countless times being out there and getting that experience. And whether it's doing the wave around the stadium on 16, it's just ridiculous. And then watching guys try to drive the green, hopefully try to drive the green. 17 is that short par 4. Some guys play conservative, but anyway, I mean, for Ricky to get it done out there in Phoenix was a riot to watch. But again, that was back in 2019. So it's been a hot minute since Ricky's been in the winner's circle. So optimistic that he can also kind of make the comeback. I don't know if he's kind of been working. I thought I read, it's hard to keep up with all these guys. I'm a huge fan of a lot of guys on tour, and it's hard to keep up with the ever-changing landscape that is out there. And so I'm pretty sure Ricky made a swing coach change this year. I think he's trying to kind of dial a few things in and just need a fresh set of eyes. And I get that. Again, I've kind of explored that myself. It's just like you work with somebody for so long and they get to know you and your mannerisms and your swing characteristics and traits and stuff like that. And you're always kind of looking at the same stuff or looking for the same stuff. And sometimes you need a fresh set of eyes to say, hey, I see this. Let's maybe talk about that. Let's address that. And I think that's what Ricky was looking for. And I hope he finds something, because I'd love to see him kind of get back out there again. You can't deny the flair for the dramatic, the excitement, and people love Ricky Fowler. Sometimes I wish he'd shave that mustache, but That's for him to decide, not any of us. I like the long hair. The long hair is kind of cool, fun to watch. And I don't know if you guys are. I mean, I imagine if you're listening to the Michigan Golf Podcast, you probably explore other podcast options. It's fun. I get it. I'm by no means exclusive to any of you, but one that I recommend because I explore other podcasts as well. I mean, it'd be crazy not to. But the Subpar Podcast with Colton Ost and I forget the other guy. Sorry if you're a fan and you know the other guy, but I can't remember. It's a new podcast that I just kind of got turned on to recently. And Colton Ost is super funny. I love his personality. They just kind of ripped off a couple of awesome interviews down in Florida. One with Ricky Fowler, one with Justin Thomas. I think if I'm not mistaken, I saw this week they've got Matt Wolf on the podcast, which I'm stoked to tune into and kind of see where that conversation goes. But check it out. They did an awesome interview with Ricky, and I think that'll kind of paint a little better of a picture than what I'm able to paint for you guys as far as the state of his game and kind of what he's looking forward to doing in 2021. So check that out. Golf, the Subpar Podcast with Colton Ost. It's awesome. Yeah, you won't regret it. And rounding off the list, I mean, you guys, maybe you saw it coming, maybe you didn't, but we're putting Tiger Woods in number five. And yes, Tiger the Cat Woods, number five on the 2021 potential comeback player list here. And why do we put Tiger in that category? And because I think, you know what? Whether it was COVID related, whether it was schedule related, whether it was, who knows, maybe, I mean, a little bit physical for him with the back, but 2020 was a flop. I mean, what the dude probably played like seven times tops, if you kind of include the playoffs and into the fall series stuff. He didn't make the tour championship. He ended up playing the Zozo, which was again played, I think, out in Vegas, if I remember right. I didn't actually tune in, but that event usually played overseas and in Japan or China, I forget where. But relocated to Vegas, again, didn't tune into much of that. But, you know, the guy just kind of, I expected more from him after 2019. And 2018 into 2019, when he wins the tour championship, Tiger's back. The fire is lit. It was incredible. And that was one of the most fun final rounds to watch, just being a huge Tiger fan for obviously all of his golfing career. And then to turn around and get the W at the 2019 Masters. I mean, that could have been the cherry on top. That dude could have put on that green jacket and then walked away from the game. And it would have just been the icing on the cake, the cherry on top, all the different analogies or metaphors, whatever, to concluding a career in just grand fashion. But I still think he wants to get more done. I really truly do. I think he wants to be have that most career wins record. I think he wants to get to who knows what he wants to get to, but if he wants to get to Jack's 18 major championships, he's got to get a few more dubs under his belt. I think he wants to get to obviously 19. That's kind of been the story of his career, pursuing that major championship record. Overall wins record, if he gets one, he'll get likely get the other. Obviously, if he gets the majors, he'll get the wins. If he gets the wins, he might not get the majors. But either way, I mean, 2020 just kind of was a flop because he came out and, you know, I thought it was gonna build momentum in the right way. His best finish last year was a tie for ninth at the Farmers Insurance Open out at Torrey Pines, which we all know. I mean, it's Tiger Woods and Torrey Pines. The dude, he runs the table out there. That's his personal San Diego playground. And T9 was, you know, I would put it on par with expectations. I think that time of year, just kind of with Tiger being, older in age, he's turning 45 this year. You got to know he's not going to have an off season. He takes off seasons. And I say off seasons because he takes multiple breaks for just longer durations of time than probably any other player on the PGA Tour, but that's what he's earned. He's earned the ability to do that, and that's kind of his strategy and how he's going to kind of pursue his goals and what he wants to do. He wants to peak for the four major championships, and he's going to do whatever he needs to to get his mind right, to get his body right, and to be prepared to contend and try to win those events. And so if that means taking 4 weeks off here, 6 weeks off there, he's going to do it. And that's the beauty of being an independent contractor on the PGA Tour. So, but you know, getting up there again, getting up there in age, you can't expect him to take December off, not play much in January, if at all in January, and then show up in February at the Farmers Insurance, granted his personal playground of Torrey Pines, and get the W anymore. I think he has to get more reps in, and that's the kind of balancing act that I think we see with Tiger Woods, is how do you protect your body, how do you guard against any future injuries, and just kind of maintaining what you got to make sure that you can continue to play for whatever duration of time you want to play for, as well as get the reps and kind of get all the rust out of there before you get into competition. That way you can show up ready to play, ready to compete. Because he talks all the time about the work he does at home, and he's got the facility to do it. It's unreal. If you've seen stuff about what that dude's got in his backyard, I don't think I'd ever leave. I would probably do a lot of what he does. If I made Tiger Woods money and had Tiger Woods' backyard, I'd probably kick it in practice, hang out with the kids, hit balls, chip and putt, whatever you want to do. I mean, get your fix, and then maybe every once in a while play in a tournament, hang out with the guys. I mean, I don't blame him. But he fell to 36 in the world golf ranking, and with that kind of end of 2018 through 2018, 2019 comeback, the Cinderella story, all that was, he, if I'm not mistaken, climbed back inside the top 10. I want to say he got to like 7 or 8, and I can't remember without looking back, but he vaulted up the world rankings list, which was super fun to see, because he was outside the top, he was like 1100, 1200, something like that, obviously with everything that he went through and not playing competitive golf for a while and just trying to get back on track and get things right in his life. I mean, he plummeted, and so to see him get back and crack that top 10 was killer. But now he's back to 36, and he's got work to do. And I think he's going to do it in 2021, because I think 2020 was beneficial for him. I think it gave him the break physically and mentally to kind of assess and say, hey, what worked in 2019? What worked in 2018? Just all those things. What was good? What was bad? What can I do differently? What do I need to do this day and age with this body and this mindset in order to show up and compete and try to get the W? So, he did win since the Masters. Obviously, he won the Zozo Championship in 2019, the inaugural Zozo Championship, which was super cool to watch. And I don't know if you guys watched the Skins game ahead of that event. They had that Skins game with, I think it was the Wednesday or Tuesday before the tournament. It was Tiger, Jay Day, Hideki Matsuyama, and Rory McIlroy. And I watched that Skins game because it was primetime golf and just a fun group of guys to watch. And Tiger did not look good. I watched that and I thought, this dude is going to, I mean, if he makes the cut, that's going to be awesome. We'll get to watch 4 days of Tiger in primetime. So, I mean, that's cool. But, you know, I mean, for him to kind of go out and just look like he did in that Skins game, which, I mean, he's Tiger Woods. He's still got all the ability and all the skill. He just has to kind of put it together, and that's what he did. He looked kind of flat in the Skins game and then shows up and gets the W when it counts. I mean, he's not out there to win Skins, whether it's donating them to charity, whatever the Skins game did there at Zozo, but he wants to get the W. He wants to get his hands on the trophy come Sunday. That's all he cares about, and that's what he did. So, mad props to that. But I think he's going to make a comeback, because I think he's had the time, he's had the opportunity to reset and refocus. He's had a flat 2020, not playing in the offseason. Obviously, he went back to defend the Zozo title, I don't remember what he finished. I didn't really pay attention too much. But no Hero World Challenge this year, so he's got that break. He is teeing it up with his son, Charlie, which is going to be super cool. I can't wait. I think that's the PNC Challenge or something like that. So that'll be fun to watch. I'm pretty pumped to see how Papa Woods and Little Woods team up together, because I don't know how old Charlie is. And I've seen stuff with his swing, and I've seen that he competes on the junior level around Florida. But I'm going to be excited to see the kid on TV. And I think it's going to be a riot to watch. But I don't know about you guys. That's kind of my personal top five. I mean, there's a ton of guys. This was hard to kind of whittle down to five, because I didn't want to burn I could burn half a day talking about this kind of stuff. And I mean, realistically, you could throw any number of guys in the mix. I mean, kind of comeback opportunity. You could look at McIlroy. You could look at Brooks Koepka. You could look at Sergio Garcia. There's just a ton of dudes that, I mean, Tommy Fleetwood, if you're a Tommy Fleetwood fan, he, 2020 was a bust. I mean, you look at 2021, and he's looking to get back in the winner's circle, play well, and get back after it. I mean, there's any number of guys that you could have sat down here and talked about. But for me, Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, Wesley Bryan, Ricky Fowler, and Tiger Woods. So, who's going to get the W? Who's going to get the W, and who's going to get it first? I am going to go with, on that list, out of those five guys, I think it's going to be Jason Day. I think it's going to be early. I foresee it happening in the months of, assuming we have a regular PGA Tour schedule, I think he'll get it done before the end of February. I think in the first 2 months of the new year, we will see Jason Day in the winner's circle at a PGA Tour event. You maybe heard it here first, unless you listen to other golf podcasts and they're saying the same thing. But that's my bold prediction for 2021. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. I appreciate the listenership. You guys are awesome. Hopefully, again, just kind of getting my stuff together, trying to give you guys what you want, trying to give me what I want, and that's talking about golf. So anytime I can kind of hunker down here and sit in my quote-unquote recording studio, and whether it's talk about my game, talk about your game, talk about Michigan golf, talk about PGA Tour players, whatever it might be, that's where the passion's at, and that's what I love. So I appreciate you guys coming along for the ride. So thanks again for tuning in, as always, and until next time, enjoy the game of golf, I guess. I don't know what to say this time of year until next time, because I don't know what we're all doing until next time. But until next time, thanks again for tuning in, guys. We'll catch up with you soon.